So I'm glad to be here with everyone this evening to worship the Lord a little bit more today. So this evening we'll be continuing the study in 1 Corinthians, and what we'll be going over is the first 14 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And a lot of times whenever I'll start, I'll read over whatever passage that I'm going to be teaching on, and a lot of times I'll read over it and I'll think, man, I'm not going to be able to get a lot of material out of that. I feel like it's pretty self-explanatory, and a lot of times it'll wind up being more than I could ever fit into a lesson by the time I get done. But this time it actually stayed down to where there's not just a ton of material. I couldn't find a lot of extra comments I could make. It seemed to be pretty self-explanatory, but we will make some comments along the way, but the lesson won't be quite as lengthy as other times. But first off, we'll just start by reading this passage. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 14. So there Paul says, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this: do we," and this is he and Barnabas, "do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as the other apostles do, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Whoever goes to war at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Do I say these things as a mere man? Or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, 'You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain.' Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel." So as we see, Paul begins this passage by asking a few rhetorical questions. He says, you know, am I not an apostle? An apostle is just someone who has been given an apostleship, someone who is on a mission with a message. So we know that Paul was definitely someone that was on a mission with a message. So a lot of times, maybe whenever I think of apostles, I'll think of the 12, but we know the 12, there were some more specific criteria that were put on them that Peter talked about, with them being with Jesus through his ministry, with them witnessing his miracles and hearing his teachings and being witnesses of his death on the cross and his resurrection and seeing him after he arose. But the criteria of being considered an apostle was a messenger. We know that Paul certainly was a messenger. And we read in Acts chapter 14 and 14 that both Paul and Barnabas were considered apostles. So Paul then asks, continuing in this passage, if he was not free and if he had not seen Jesus. So we remember Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus whenever Jesus spoke to him and he saw the light and he was converted at that time. And Paul refers to himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8 as one who was born out of due time. So we know of his conversion to Christianity. And finally, as a response to these first few questions, Paul says that if anyone considers him to be an apostle, it should be the Corinthians, because their establishment there as the church at Corinth was a direct effect of his teaching and converting those people. So he's saying, if anybody would consider me to be an apostle, it should be you. So evidently this was a question among those at Corinth of whether or not Paul would be considered an apostle, whether or not Paul was eligible to be supported by the church in that place. So in this passage, Paul is given his defense of his apostleship and of his right and Barnabas's right to be supported by the church in that place. So Paul then asks, do we, being himself and Barnabas, not have the right to eat or drink or to take a believing wife as the other apostles, the brothers of Jesus and Cephas? So Paul then uses some of the old law that was delivered by God through Moses to illustrate how those who were in service for God were eligible to receive benefits from the others, the children of Israel, like the Levites, those that worked in the tabernacle with the sacrifices and the offerings. They were able to partake in those offerings that were given by the children of Israel as a benefit from their service of the Lord. So Paul asks some very simple questions. After that, he says, whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit, who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? So Paul's pointing out that nobody does a job for free, really. I mean, we may have things that we voluntarily do and don't expect any return, but like someone that's going to war, well, they're going to be away from home for a long time, and I mean, unless they plunder the goods of the people that they're at war with, once they defeat them, you know, they're not home raising a flock or tending a vineyard or things like that. They're having to be away at war, so they're going to benefit from being at the war to compensate them. And those that are working in a vineyard or those that are shepherds in a flock, we know that reading in the Bible and studying that history, that being a shepherd was a full-time job. And we read how Jesus talked about how a good shepherd, the sheep, knew that shepherd's voice and would respond to them and obey them to an extent. And that involved a lot of time that somebody dedicated to watching over those sheep. So these are things that Paul's saying, when somebody invests this much time in a work, then those people expect to be compensated for that and their needs to be taken care of. So, but Paul then points out that, you know, I'm not justifying this from my own wisdom. This is actually something that if you're looking in the old law, things that God prescribed back then, this lines up with that as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 4, during when Moses was reciting commandments of God to the children of Israel, he said, "You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain." So Paul goes on to explain that pretty well. He says, well, in this case, was God just concerned about the ox, or was it the people that he was saying this for? So saying, well, is God just promoting a fight against animal cruelty, and don't be mean to your ox and put a muzzle on it while it's in the field working, you need to take it off, and those kind of things? Well, Paul says, no, that's not his point. It was to be a figure for the people who are working, that you don't muzzle the ox while it's working in the field. You allow it to eat some of that grain as it's working so it can benefit from its work, being kind of a type of, if there's someone that is working, whether it be like he was saying in the vineyard or with the flocks, or if it be a preacher or an apostle, this is what they're devoting themselves to, then they're to be compensated, and you shouldn't keep them from the benefits that they deserve from their work. And Paul is saying that this is intended of illustration of man. So he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes should be partaker of that hope. So then, like, he makes a pretty strong point after that when he says, if we, being himself and Barnabas, says, if we've sown spiritual things among you, is it a great thing, or is it a big deal, or is it hard to understand that we should, if we were to reap material things from you? So he's kind of appealing to their common sense at first, and he says, who's going to put in all this effort and not expect any reward from it? So if you're going out and you plant some seeds and you reap that harvest, who doesn't expect to benefit from that harvest? And he's saying, well, we're sowing spiritual things among you, which is bringing about spiritual fruits, and I mean, this is going to lead to your salvation. So if anyone deserves to be supported for the work that they're doing, why wouldn't it be someone who's doing work for spiritual fruit versus just grain or grapes or milk from a flock or whatever it may be. However, Paul says that he and Barnabas didn't exercise, well, so it appears the church there weren't opposed to supporting teachers and preachers as a whole. It was just seemed to be particularly kind of Paul and Barnabas, because Paul says others are receiving material support from you. So why would Barnabas and I not be even more deserving of those things from you? However, Paul says that he and Barnabas didn't exercise that right to be supported by the church in that place because they didn't want to hinder the gospel of Christ. So one way I could see, because I'll think, okay, well, how would it hinder the gospel of Christ by them wanting to take support from the church at Corinth? Well, one way I can see is if they didn't believe that they were really eligible to be supported by the church, then Paul and Barnabas aren't going to say, well, if you're not going to pay us, fine, y'all can just figure it out from somebody else. We're not going to spread the gospel in this place because you got to pay us or we're not teaching. So that's one way that I could see them saying they didn't want to hinder the gospel, so they didn't take support from the church at Corinth. And as Paul mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says he didn't take wages from the church at Corinth because he didn't want to be a burden to them. Instead, he took wages from other churches, and he names Macedonia as being one of the churches that he took wages from so he could continue teaching at Corinth. So Paul gives another example illustrating the right of apostles to receive support when he reminds them under the old law how those ministers in the temple were allowed to eat of the sacrifices and the offerings that were being made by others. And we know that was set up by instruction from God that we can read in Leviticus chapter 6, Numbers chapter 5, and chapter 18, as well as in Deuteronomy. So Paul just reinforces the fact that, you know, this isn't something that I'm coming up with on my own, that I think this just makes sense for us to be supported by the church here because we're working. He's saying this is something that is supported by God's commandments in the past. And finally, Paul sums everything up by telling the church at Corinth that the Lord commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. So those that are devoting their lives to, whether it be abroad in other places. So as we saw this example of Paul was working in Corinth, but he was receiving support from the church at Macedonia to do that work, much like if we have preachers over in Africa or some other country and we support their work, we see that that's legitimate. Or if it's someone just working locally and they're working with the community, working with the church, then if they're dedicating themselves to that work, then it says the Lord has commanded that they should make a living from that. And really, that concludes my thoughts on this passage. Like I said, it's pretty brief, but I feel like everything's pretty self-explanatory. I feel like his points are pretty clear, and it's easy to see how the Old Testament does support those things that he said. If I missed anything, then I encourage you to bring me up to speed on it after the service. But those are my thoughts. So this evening, if you're in need of obeying the gospel, we encourage you to do that. If you have any questions, really, whether you've not obeyed the gospel or whether you have, about becoming a Christian or walking the Christian life, any of those things, I encourage us to lean on each other and get support from each other. But if you do have the need to obey the gospel and you would like to do that at this time, then we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing. Or if maybe you already are a Christian, but you need to make a public confession or just need the prayers of the church, we encourage you as well to come forward as we stand and sing.